Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Xie. I'm going to present you prevalence and predictors of cervical cancer screening among women with intellectual and developmental disabilities. I think the three presenters did a great job, and some are really will come out area related issues as well, especially my previous presenters looking at the mammogram. So there's no relationship to these groups. The study I'm going to present analyzed the data from our longitudinal study, which is funded by NIDER through the RRTC Developmental Disability and Lifespan Health and Function. So that's the first cycle and funding from year 2008 to 2013. And fortunately, we also got the second cycle funding that will start from 2013 to 2018. So we are in the process of 5-year data collection. And in the first cycle, we finished the 3-year longitudinal data collection. But today, I'm using the subset of the longitudinal data to look at the woman's cancer screening issue here. So the background I want to talk about is women with IDD really are two to five times less likely to receive PET test, which compared to the people, women without IDD. And we know cervical cancer is the 8th most common cancer of women in the States. And the cervical cancer death decreased by approximately about 74% in the last 50 years. It's largely due to the widespread of PET test. And we know that if it's early detection, the cervical cancer is one of the most successfully treatable cancers. However, women with IDD are less likely to receive this kind of screening. We also found out, according to the literature, women who live at home with family members receive PET test at a lower rate than other women with IDD. And one study indicates that most women with DD had little knowledge of cervical cancer screening. They also found out the women who live home with family also receive very little understanding of cervical cancer screening. So, but the gap between the disparity is not really clear. So, So our research question is, first of all, we want to examine the overall cervical cancer screening rates in women with IDD age 21 to 65, and then look at examining the predictors, including individual factors and access to healthcare factors and also environmental factors. So we have 503 women aged 21 and 65 in the subset of the longitudinal studies. This study, we used the Longitudinal Health Intellectual Disability Survey. In the first year of the first cycle of funding, we spending time on developing the survey. The survey is based on the birth, and also it's the NHIS will modify, and so we conduct a pilot study and do the testing and to refine the survey. So it took 1 year, so we started collecting data on the second year. So this is based on the base that we collect in the first year. We have 1,600 participants in the survey, and so about one third of them are women with age 21 and 65. In our survey, we have three sections. The first section including health and function, so including questions on health status, chronic health conditions, physical function, healthcare access. And the second section includes health behaviors, including physical activity, weight control and dietary habits, and also smoking, alcohol, and oral hygiene, and social participation. In the last session of the survey, it's the characteristics in demographics and employment, etc. And the survey we collected is through either online or the paper. And majority of them, actually 75% of them, are filled out by papers. And they have got $10 incentive to complete the survey. So the data analysis, we use a descriptive statistics for frequency to look at the prevalence rate. Then we use the univariate analysis to identify potential confounders and covariance. Okay. This is a typo, but I added, but somehow didn't reflect the changes here. So we use a 2.5 p-value cutoff to identify the potential confounders and also covariance. And then the last we conduct a multiple logistic regression to look at the predictors. So the criteria why we choose the cutoff age from age 21 to 65 is based on the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommendation, the Guide to Clinical Preventive Service 2010 to 2011, because that's about the time we do the data collection. So the woman aged 21 to 65 should have PEP test every 3 years. So the question we asked is if they have PEP tested. And then we have a different under year, 1 year to 2 years. So the criteria to increase yes will be the every 3 years. So the dependent variable is the PEP test within the last 3 years. Independent variables including individual factors such as age, race, condition related to DD such as CP diagnosis or Down syndrome diagnosis, and the other one is the autism spectrum, and mobility limitation. Then we also look at the mentally unhealthy days in the past 30 days and physically unhealthy days in the last 30 days, and their level of intellectual disabilities and their employment status. Access to healthcare factors including type of health insurance, and for the environmental factors, we look at the residential type and the residence area, which means the rural area versus urban area. So after the selection of the multiple univariate, logistic regressions, some of the variable will remove from the equation the final model. So the individual factors, CP is no longer there, and it's only physically unhealthy days retained. And for access to healthcare still retained. For the environmental factors, the residence area, such as rural area versus urban, is no longer retained. This is the participant demographics. So basically we about have 50-50%. We divide to two age groups, 35 to 65, 18 and 35. It's about 50-50. And about 27% who have a Down syndrome, and 13 have CP, and about 8% have autism. Majority of this is white, 91%, and the others 9%. It's about 64% they are employed. So when we say employee, it could be part-time, not necessarily a full-time employee. But about 83%, there's no mobility limitation, and majority of them live in urban area. So overall, it's about 55% they have mild or moderate liberal ID. I need to mention is that about 20% they say they don't know what liberal ID they have. Some of scientists didn't show, but I just want to mention is that majority of the informant filled out the survey are their relative and family members, and followed by healthcare providers, about 20%. So this is based on the informant report, and I just want to clarify. And most of the people, they are living over 50%, they live with family members or relatives, followed by, you know, live on their own or supportive living environments. Most of the people have both Medicare and Medicaid health insurance, and followed by Medicaid only. When we look at examine the prevalence rate by the age group, you can see overall the prevalence rate of a pap test is about 54%. And for the age group, younger age group, 21 to 34, they only have like 45%. For the older age group, it's about 63%. And for the when you look at by the ID related diagnosis, so people with CP is about 52%, and people with Down syndrome is less than 40%, and autism is about 41%. When you look at it by the residential type, the highest is the when they live by on their own, it's about 75%. Again, the lowest is people, well, group home supportive are kind of lower than 30%, but also live with family member, it's about less than 40%. In terms of the insurance, health insurance type, if people have both Medicare and Medicaid, it's about 52%. And prepaid is about the same. The lowest one is they have prepaid plus the Medicaid. And for the Medicaid, prepaid and Medicare have both insurance. They have less than 50% of doing the received PAP test. So in terms of just summarize what's the finding in terms of prevalence rate, it's overall it's about 54%, which is consistent to the previous studies. And for the women aged 35 and 65, they have a higher screening rate, is 63 versus a younger age group, 45%. In terms of the residential, the highest one is living on their own, and then the lowest is family. So this slide show you the summary of the multiple logistic regression. So age 35 to 65, the older age group, and the physically unhealthy days are positively correlated to receive the PEP test. So which means if they have more health problem, it seems they have more chance to get the PEP test, maybe when they see doctor more, you know, then the doctor will suggest it to have the test. However, when women have a Down syndrome and living with family member, they are negatively correlated to receive the PEP test. So this is some limitation of study. Since this is based on the informant reported cervical cancer screening, so they might have a recall bias, so you can see one possible explanation, that's why the people living with family member, they have the lowest, the cervical cancer screening. But they also might be this sample bias because the underrepresented minority and also the region. So on the second cycle of our longitudinal study is to recruit 1,500 new cohort into our study because we try to improve our minority representative and also the regions, especially from south and west regions participants. So hopefully we can further examine the really cost effective when you look at the longitudinal data. So conclusion is that the really women, especially in age group 21 to 35, with Down syndrome have better, who have better health, seems to have more likely, less likely to receive tests. So the health education should focus on this target population. And also caregiver should be included for the health education as well.